Welcome to the deep dive. If you've ever rented an apartment or, leased out a property, you probably know the process often feels less like a professional contract and more like a chaotic game of tug of war.
Oh, absolutely. It can be incredibly high stakes for both sides.
Right. So today we're looking at what happens when the government actually decides to step in as the referee. We're unpacking South Africa's 2006 Rental Housing Amendment Bill.
Yeah, which was published as a draft document for public comment back then.
Exactly. And our mission today is to explore how this draft attempted to radically shift that balance of power, right? Like between landlords and tenants, basically by handing out a really clear, enforceable rule book.
And the bill systematically identifies the biggest friction points in a standard lease. It tries to engineer strict boundaries, mostly by targeting the root of, well, almost all renting anxiety.
The money.
The money, exactly.
Because before this bill, I mean, landlords were essentially using deposits to hedge against inflation, right? They'd hike your rent for the new year and then immediately demand you top up your deposit to match.
Yeah, and Section 5 puts a hard stop to that. A deposit is strictly defined here as a once-off payment.
Wait, really? So it's locked in, regardless of future rent increases.
Locked in. Plus, the landlord is legally required to park that money in an interest-bearing account. Specifically, it has to earn at least the rate of a standard savings account.
Okay, but who gets the interest?
That's the critical mechanism here. The interest goes directly to the tenant.
Oh, wow. So the landlord acts as a custodian, not an owner. It's almost like a mini trust fund for the tenant or an escrow lockbox.
That's a great way to put it. They hold the key to the account, but the money is fenced off. And these financial rules also force a strict 50-50 split on moving in and moving out inspection costs.
Which is huge. What about those vague admin fees landlords always used to charge just for drawing up the contract?
Banned. Literally banned. Unless the landlord can provide actual proof of expenditure, they can't just invent a fee to pad their bottom line anymore.
I mean, protecting the deposit is great on paper, but, financial rules mean nothing if a rogue landlord can just physically lock you out of your apartment to force your hand.
Right, which happens.
So how does the bill actually enforce these boundaries on the ground?
By handing massive authority to rental housing tribunals, they broaden the definition of an unfair practice to cover, well, any contravention of the act.
Any contravention, that's broad.
Very broad. But the real teeth involve evictions. A landlord absolutely cannot seize a tenant's possessions or repossess the property without first obtaining a specific ruling from a tribunal or a court order.
Okay, but do tribunal rulings actually carry weight?
They do now. A tribunal ruling is deemed legally equivalent to an order of a magistrate's court.
Wait, hold on. If civil tribunals suddenly have all this heavy judicial power and every single dispute goes through them, aren't they going to be completely overwhelmed, like backlogged for years?
Well, the drafters tried to head off that kind of administrative collapse. They extended the window allowed to fill tribunal vacancies from 1 month to 3 months.
I don't get that. How does letting a judge's seat sit empty for 3 months instead of one help clear a backlog? That sounds backwards.
I know it sounds counterintuitive. But under the old rule, if the local authority couldn't find a qualified replacement within 30 days, the tribunal technically became invalid.
Oh, so the entire system legally had to halt all cases.
Exactly. Everything froze. Giving them 90 days provides the breathing room to find the right person without the whole system crashing while they search.
Okay, that makes sense. You have the power and the administrative buffer. But if these local tribunals have magistrate-level power, what's stopping a tribunal in Cape Town from ruling completely differently than one in Pretoria on the exact same issue?
Yeah, Section 15 of the bill addresses exactly that. Previously, local government executives wrote the regulations. This amendment yanks that power away from the provinces entirely,
And gives it to who?
directly to the national minister.
Yeah.
The memo attached to the bill is super clear about this. The goal is absolute uniformity across the whole country.
So basically, the goal is that renting an apartment in Pretoria has the exact same baseline rules as renting one in Cape Town, which is crucial
Yeah.
because you can't have a fair housing market if the definition of fair changes every time you cross a provincial border.
Exactly. It forces a massive shift from renting being this, casual ad hoc arrangement into a strictly regulated, transparent system.
Which is fascinating for anyone listening. Whether you're a renter guarding your deposit or a property owner trying to navigate compliance, this deep dive shows how legal mechanisms really try to engineer stability in our most everyday transactions, our homes.
Yeah, it completely changes the landscape.
It does. Which leaves us with a final question for you to ponder. If this bill forces landlords to treat renting as a strictly regulated, transparent business rather than just a casual side hustle, how might that added bureaucracy ultimately change the overall supply and cost of rental housing? We've got a clear rulebook now, but you have to wonder if it changes who even wants to play the game.